You're listening to PX Pulse, a regular podcast bringing you fresh voices on critical issues facing HIV prevention research today. You're listening to PX Pulse. I'm Jean Barron. Two trials recently launched testing very different HIV prevention strategies. The HIV Prevention Trials Network is testing a long-acting drug called cabotegravir in a trial known as HPTN-084. The HIV Vaccine Trials Network is testing what's called a mosaic vaccine in a trial known as HVTN-705. These investigations are two of seven major trials hoping to advance prevention around the world today. In this episode of PX Pulse, we look at these trials from several perspectives. From Zimbabwe, a leading bioethicist evaluates ethics at trial sites in southern and east Africa today, where so many of these trials are happening. From the U.S., a renowned scientist explains mosaic vaccines. And from Malawi, veteran advocate Maureen Luba talks to AVAX Navita Jain about 705 and 084. Both are being tested in Malawi. And Maureen talks about how the trials will affect her advocacy.
So I'm here with Maureen Luba to talk a little bit about HVTN 705 and HVTN 084. So Maureen, we're so happy for you to be here to help us better understand what advocates are attuned to and watching for in Malawi. So I'm just going to start by asking you, what are the Malawi-specific challenges and opportunities that you see?
One of the benefits of a country participating in a trial is that once the product, you know, shows to be effective, you get to be the first beneficiaries of that particular product. So for me, Malawi could be one of the countries benefiting from the from these two products. So that's why I'm so excited. You know that at the moment, Malawi is not offering PLEB as one of the HIV prevention interventions. Currently, we're still discussing with the Ministry of Health to make sure that at least we have a policy in place that can actually guide us in terms of how PLEB can be offered and who can be offered PLEB. I think it provides an opportunity, you know, for us, especially advocates, to push government to say, I think it's high time Malawi considers including PLEB as part of policy and guidelines. I think that's what I would say in terms of the potential challenges at the moment. But also, I think let me also add regarding the HVTN 705, you know, as you know, the way people understand the science of vaccines, you know, the understanding that people have out there is that you're using the virus. That's the basic understanding that people have. So, you know, I see the potential of people having, you know, having some fears around whether they're actually going to be infected with that. So I see some potential challenges around the communication. So I think there will be need a lot of awareness and HIV vaccine education. I think there's need for investment around that area. So I think those are some of the potential challenges that I see with the two trials.
And what would you say are your priorities for engagement around these trials?
I think there will be need for broader stakeholder engagements. The policymakers need to understand what these two trials is all about. The media, you know, the media has got a potential to break or make. So I think it would be very important to engage the media to have them understand. They could even help us in raising awareness, plus even advocacy. So there's need to make sure that there's enough investment around awareness raising so that people get to understand what these trials are all about. The trial sites would always tell us as advocates that there's no budget maybe for engagement, for wider engagement. But I think that's something that we'll be watching. But also I think another thing that would like to be watching is to see what kind of standard of care will be offered to trial participants in the two trials. Since we know that PrEP works, will it be provided as part of the package? Of course, I know that Malawi at the moment is not offering PrEP as an HIV prevention intervention, but how can we use these two trials to advocate for PrEP, to make sure that PrEP is available? Because we know the fact that PrEP is not available in the public health setting does not mean that we should deny the trial participants access to that.
Advocates like Maureen Luba often talk about the need to educate policymakers, trial participants, and larger communities about prevention, including the science behind it. And HVTN 705 is testing a strategy that may be new to a lot of us, using a so-called mosaic design, which means if it works, it could protect against all the different types of HIV in the world. Dan Baruch is the director of the Center of Virology and Vaccine Research at Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center, and he led the research behind the vaccine trial known officially as HVTN705/HPX2008. Dan, thanks for joining us.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Scientists have been searching for a vaccine for HIV for three decades. You've had a major role in advancing this vaccine strategy to clinical trials in humans. Tell us about this candidate and the strategy behind it that, if it works, could produce a global vaccine.
This vaccine is different than previous vaccines in that it addresses some of the major challenges related to HIV. One of these major challenges is the fact that there are many different strains of HIV throughout the world and even in a single country and even in a single individual. Because of that, it is a challenge for vaccines to raise immune responses that are relevant for these diverse virus populations. In this vaccine, we use so-called mosaic immunogens, which is essentially pieces of different viral sequences that are stitched together. And we have shown in both preclinical studies and in clinical studies that these raise more immune responses that are relevant to diverse virus populations. So our hope is that this is at least the first step towards achieving an HIV vaccine that might be relevant to many different strains of HIV and ultimately throughout the world.
So let's drill down into that a little bit. What is in the vaccine? What are its active ingredients and what do they each do?
So the vaccine is a prime and a boost. The initial two shots of the vaccine.
That's the prime, right?
Correct. So the vaccine is four shots. The first two shots are called the prime, and the second two shots are called the boost. The prime consists of a common cold virus called AD26, adenovirus serotype 26, which has been made to not cause disease and cannot even replicate, but is used as a carrier to bring in to cells the HIV mosaic immunogen.
Immunogen is the ingredient in a vaccine that sparks an immune response. It's the antigen, the fragment of a virus that triggers an immune response.
Exactly. So the immunogens are small pieces, not the whole thing, small pieces of HIV that essentially teach your body to raise immune responses that then we think will be active when your body actually sees the real virus.
Gotcha. So the prime, the two injections that are in the prime have the cold virus in it, the adeno-26.
Yes, but remember it's a type of virus that doesn't cause the cold. It doesn't cause any disease. We're using it essentially as a carrier. So it basically, the job of the ad-26 is to carry the HIV immunogens, those small pieces of the virus, into cells so that the body can then make an immune response to those immunogens.
And what's in the boost?
So the boost is a combination of the same AD26 mosaic vectors that were in the prime together with a purified HIV surface protein. The purpose of the boost is to raise antibody responses. The initial prime raises both antibody responses and T-cell responses, which is the two arms of the immune system. And the boost is intended specifically to improve antibody titers.
An antibody titer is a measurement of the amount of antibody produced in response to a vaccine.
And we've shown in earlier, smaller phase clinical trials that this vaccine actually does raise those types of immune responses. So the current study, HVTN 705 HPX 2008, has the goal of determining whether or not this vaccine can actually prevent HIV infection in humans.
What were the key signs that you saw in the data that the vaccine might work in humans?
So one piece of data that has been promising for this approach has been animal studies in which this vaccine has been shown to give partial protection in animal challenge studies, not 100% protection, but 50 to 66% protection. The second piece of data that we found to be promising is data from the smaller human trials, the phase 1 and the phase 2A clinical trials, in which this vaccine raised similar immune responses in humans that we saw in the animals. So in animals, we know that the vaccine raised immune responses that were able to give at least a partial degree of protection, and partial and substantial. In humans, we know that this vaccine raised immune responses that were of similar potency and type that were raised in the animal studies. So we don't yet know whether this vaccine will protect humans. That's the point of the study. But we do know that this vaccine raised immune responses in humans that essentially matched those that we saw in the preclinical animal studies.
Dan, help us understand, what does partial protection mean?
A partially effective vaccine will only protect a certain fraction of the people. We, of course, would want to make a vaccine that approaches 100%. For HIV, for the reasons of the viral diversity that we discussed earlier, it's probably not feasible to have a 100% effective vaccine. However, the strategies that are in this vaccine to try to increase the relevance of immune responses to the maximum number of strains, we think will improve, or at least has a chance of improving the protection.
Understood. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you. Bye.
We turn now to Paul Indabeli, the director of the Medical Research Council of Zimbabwe. He has spent years contributing to the body of research on ethics and science, in particular, the ethical practices in HIV prevention studies in southern and East Africa. Hello, Paul. Welcome to PX Pulse.
Hello.
As HVTN-705 and HPTN-084 and five other major trials get underway, the field of research into HIV prevention has never been more active, and the science behind it's increasingly complex. All this time, international guidelines for conducting research ethically have been in place and evolving. Ethics guidelines require researchers to put the safety and benefit of trial participants first. So when it comes time to apply these standards, how are we doing?
I'd say that over the past two decades, there's been increased sensitization on the ethical principles and also on their application in clinical trials. Let me also add that there are some challenges. Research ethics committees are not yet there. There are all these efforts aimed at improving their operations, but they are not yet there. If you also look at our research institutions, we are also not yet there in terms of getting to the right levels in terms of ethical conduct of research. In some countries, we actually have strong research oversight systems, and yet in some, the systems are still weak. So there is still the demand for the training. There is still the need to ensure that at the end of the day, we are actually satisfied that all research participants across Africa or across sub-Saharan Africa are receiving the same levels of protection.
Gotcha. So I'm going to put you on the spot. If you had to give them a grade of how well they're doing, how far away from an A are they in terms of bringing these ethical practices and making them a reality at trial sites?
I'll put it at C level. So we can't be at A. A would be the best level, the highest level. So I'll put this at C. There's need for more government commitment in terms of improving research oversight.
So I want to ground this conversation in a couple of trials that a lot of people are watching, HVTN-705 and HPTN-084. Both large-scale studies of new prevention interventions taking place in southern and eastern Africa, including Zimbabwe, your home. When you look at those trials, is there anything that has really caught your attention, anything you're worried about when it comes to those two trials?
If we're looking at HIV prevention, we want to be very careful in terms of how the trials are implemented so that at the end of the day, if someone wants to seroconvert during the conduct of the trial, they will not blame the trial. But also looking at the fact that these two trials involve women. Over time, we've seen some women participants being victimized by their male partners after they discover that they've been participating in research. There is also the important point of ensuring that young people actually participate in these trials to ensure that the findings can also be applied to them. So the important bit here is to realize that there is continuous monitoring to ensure that these issues are being addressed on a continual basis.
Thank you, Paul.
Thank you.
AVAC works with trial sites, staff, advocates, ethicists, policymakers, and other stakeholders to engage in the issues related to trial conduct. And these two trials are no exception. This work is all part of ongoing efforts to ensure the trials are well designed, implemented, and supported. You can find links to more information on this and our work related to 084 and 705 at avac.org/PXPulse. You've been listening to PX Pulse, a regular podcast bringing you fresh voices on critical issues facing HIV prevention research today.